You already know what time it is, man. It's your girl POC. We back live 98.5 WJYM. Revive is alive, reviveisalive.com is a place for you to be. Click that link in the bio to take you directly where you need to be. You already know everything we do is a FUBU effect. It's for you and about you. You can follow us Facebook, Twitter, X, Instagram, YouTube, all that good stuff at revive underscore POC. Don't forget to subscribe to the YouTube channel as well as the newsletter so you can stay locked with all the exclusive recaps, interviews, and so much more. But you already know we got a jam-packed show for you today, man. I'm excited to have this special guest on. Every time I see him out on the street, I'm gonna make sure I let him know this is always love, man. You're doing some amazing stuff in the city of Philadelphia, but you're always making noise. You know, they call you a disruptor here in these streets, which I appreciate so much because, you know, we need some people who are just as proud to be Freeman, right? And that's what we're going to talk about right now, right? That difference. I don't know if we're talking about necessarily the difference between Black and Freeman, but we're going to break it down for people to understand what it means to be African American, Black American, and a Freeman all at the same time. So we're going to welcome Abona Hangis onto the show right now. Good afternoon. Welcome 98.5. Welcome to Revive. How you feeling?
All right, how you doing?
I'm good. Why are you turning your camera off? We can't see you no more. There your
You can
face
you see?
go. We can see you now.
Okay, all right.
Go ahead and introduce yourself and let the people know exactly who they're listening
I go by a few different names.
to.
The unseated council president here in Philadelphia. I began introducing legislation shortly after the last election. And this legislation, is like legislation that I would have introduced if I was elected, And I'm also the president of the Philadelphia Reparations Coalition for American Freedmen. That's an organization here in Philadelphia whose main objective is to reestablish our inheritance. Based on the Reconstruction Amendments in the United States Constitution. So many people probably heard me on what is it? City Council Live. And if you go to the City Council
Meetings.
cable station, you'll be able to see it. But
Because you
one of the
live and
things,
proud every Thursday down there at City
oh
Hall.
yeah, every Thursday. We have to be able to be engaging with our government. And when we see that there are issues that they're not covering, we're obligated to do that. And
And that's
one
one
of
of the
the
reasons why I was going to say that's one of the reasons why I wanted to invite you onto the show because I feel like this is a very powerful, complex topic when we talk about Freeman, right? What it meant historically and what it means now, and how it actually shapes the efforts of Black-centered directories or businesses and safe spaces in 2025, right? Because when it comes down to just the language, I feel like a lot of people are in a space where they don't know. And that's one of the reasons why I wanted to break down, you know, the legal landscape around calling ourselves freedmen and then also distinguishing yourself as a Black American.
So freedmen, they are the lineal descendants of chattel slavery here in the United States, not based on melanin in the skin. We are descendants of chattel slavery. We used to be the status of slaves. And actually, slavery used to be a custom. It was a custom before the country actually became the country in colonial times. And the aspect of looking at ourselves as slaves and not understanding what slavery actually is, and what freedom actually is. So the 13th Amendment, which abolished slavery, it really only abolished four different things. It stopped you from being sold on a slave by a block, auction block, stopped you from being having to work for free. You could enter into contracts and you can enter testimony against a white person. But all other badges of slavery, all other customs of slavery are still in existence. We
And
live in the
that's how we were able to, you know, go beyond what when it was slavery to then Jim Crow and to segregation and all of the other things. That's how they were able to manipulate the laws or just the system in general to continuously push us in a system of oppression. And
Right.
one of the things that I looked at prior to coming on with you is like the term of freedmen originated during the Reconstruction period, referring to Black people who were freed from slavery. And that's why you make the point that it's not necessarily about the melanin in your skin, is about if you were actually enslaved or not. And then from there, that's when the Freedmen's Bureau was created, and that was created to support Black people who were once enslaved with education, healthcare, employment, and land right. So yeah, that's another thing that I learned when I was, kind of looking up that after the freedmen or so-called slavery, slaves, I'm sorry, were freed, the Freedmen's Bureau was created to actually help us in these particular sections of life, such as education, healthcare, employment, and land rights.
And that's what we've been advocating for at least the last year, year and a half, is in Philadelphia to have to establish an Office of Freedmen Affairs to deal specifically with the descendants of chattel slavery, not all Black people. And this is where a lot of people get kind of, especially people who consider themselves Pan-African, where they say that we're trying to separate ourselves from all Black people, but we are different because we have we're the only group of people who were emancipated in the Constitution in this country. No other group of Black people were, so-called Black people were emancipated. So we have a certain status that affords us certain remedies that doesn't apply to everybody.
So I think even when you make that statement, I think that's why the confusion, because language is so important, right? Because you said it doesn't apply to other Black people. I think if anything, based on what you just said earlier in our conversation, it doesn't apply to other melanated people who were not descendants of people who were enslaved. Because if you just say other Black people, then it confuses people. Because in my mind, I'm Black because I'm melanin. I have melanin in my skin, so I automatically become a part of this conversation around the freedmen or having a status of freedmen, of
Well,
being
other
freedmen.
so-called Black people, because most,
I mean, but I'm just
So,
saying it for the sake of education. We want people to understand it, but we don't want people to question it all at the same time.
we just want to be clear that if you can trace your lineage to 1870, you are an American freedman, and you would be qualified. Or you will be in that class to receive a remedy when reparations will come. So
Let me
let me
ask you this.
talk.
Go ahead.
Go
Because
ahead.
I want to make sure we just get into the conversation around like the legal protections of that identity, right? Because that's one thing that you're really big about. It's like the legal protection of that identity as far as around the freedmen people.
Right. So the American freedmen have certain rights under the 13th, 14th, and 15th Amendments. One of those rights is in the news right now, is birthright citizenship. And birthright citizenship actually came from the Civil Rights Act of 1866. And that was an act to make or to give the former slaves citizenship, right? But that was just an act. And the 14th Amendment constitutionalized the Civil Rights Act of 1866. So when people talk about birthright citizenship, you have to first understand that birthright citizenship started in Pennsylvania with the Gradual Abolition Act of 1890, where the child born of a slave mother who was about to be freed, right? That child would have birthright citizenship. Okay, that was the first birthright citizenship in this country. Okay, and in the 14th Amendment, birthright citizenship is only pertaining to the children of the slaves. You may have heard President Trump say that a few days ago, that the 14th Amendment and birthright citizenship belongs to the children of the slaves. And that's based on the intent of that 14th Amendment, which can be found in the congressional records of the 39th Congress. So you would read that those congressional records and actually read what the senators said and who it was for, who the 14th Amendment and birthright citizenship was actually for.
And I think, you brought it up, so I'm going to throw that out there as far as that dart. He's putting his foot in his mouth with that birthright citizenship stuff because, if you look at just his family makeup from his mom to his wife to his actual son with his wife, they don't actually have the birthright citizenship as well.
Well, here's the thing. Let's not worry about what's, may affect him and look
Yeah, for
how it
sure, for sure. I'm just
positively
saying you opened
affects
up
us.
that can.
Yeah.
I'm just saying you opened up that can of worms. So I just wanted to put that out there in general. But yeah, for sure. But I wanted to ask you, when it comes down to, just again going back to the laws and or just the overall protection under, being a freedman or being an American freedman. What does that actually mean as far as how we are protected in the things that we do, such as education, businesses, and land, right? Because I want to just give you an example of like historically Black owned colleges and universities, HBCUs. How can we protect those things, as far as our history and our legacy? Because they wouldn't let us in any other school. They wouldn't let us in higher education. They wouldn't let us, get something like a doctorate degree or a diploma, a master's degree. So how do we protect those things in today's time, like in 2025, where they're trying to erase, where they're trying to remove, such as like what they're doing in Washington, D.C. with the African American Museum? And that goes
Well,
back to freedmen history.
right. Well, the Freedmen's Bureau, the Office of Freedmen Affairs, is where the colleges and universities started. So when I was saying in Philadelphia, we're working to reestablish the Office of Freedmen Affairs and to have control over the freedmen education system, to reestablish freedmen hospitals, to reestablish freedmen schools, because just like the Native Americans are a good example. Native Americans have their own education system. We, as American freedmen, are guaranteed under the Reconstruction Amendments to have our own schools. Actually, the first public schools in the nation were the freedmen schools. The model of the public schools come from the freedmen schools that were established after the Civil War during Reconstruction. So we created our own schools. We had our hometowns, the freedmen towns, the freedmen hospitals, freedmen banks. So the laws that allowed us to create those towns back then, we're implementing those same things. When I say we, the Philadelphia Reparations Coalition for American Freedmen, it was called Reconstruction, right? But Reconstruction is, it was reparations. So when people talk about reparations for the descendants of slavery, it's actually Reconstruction 2.0, because Reconstruction is still current law, you see? So we're just continuing what our ancestors did, who created the so-called Black Wall Streets. And like I said, the mandate is already there in the 13th and 14th Amendments.
And one thing that I learned too, because I wanted to be ready for when I came on with you, because you was going to be spitting those facts. So I wanted to make sure I had my, my research ready. But one thing that I learned, right, is under the protection of the civil rights law, I wanted to know like how can Black-centric organizations be protected, right? And one thing that I learned by, doing my research is under the civil rights law, organizations can center race in their mission as long as they don't deny other access in a way that violates the Civil Rights Act of 1964. Nonprofits can lawfully focus on historically marginalized groups when it aims to remedy the past discrimination or promoting equality. The key is to ensure that the mission is clear and the service is open when necessary and that the public funding is not used to discriminate in any way. So targeting
So,
out research or research empowerment programs or spaces that often protect if they aim to correct systematic disparities. So it's possible. It's just the language around it when it comes down to people who are Black-centric focus on helping themselves or Freedmen-centric focus when it's coming to helping themselves. So it's possible.
So we got to be very careful that we don't say black, and it's because it's specific of the American freedman. You follow me?
I'm listening. I don't know if I'm following you all the way because I feel like, go ahead, keep talking.
there is no such thing in law as a black person. We are American freedmen, which is a status. And you're talking about the Civil Rights Act of 64. We're talking about the first Civil Rights Act of 1866, which guaranteed absolute freedom and equality. So if there's a white school that has swimming pools and all types of labs and everything like that, the freedmen schools are supposed to have the same thing. That not happening is what's called a badge of slavery, which is something that we're pushing in regards to Congress defining what these badges of slavery are, those things that we call racism, and define them and then outlaw them. So the school to prison pipeline, we have to look at all of those things that create the school to prison pipeline. Congress would have to, or a legislative body would have to look at that and outlaw those things so that it doesn't happen. So we're calling for a committee, a standing committee in Congress, to hold hearings on the badges of slavery. You often hear me talk about 13th Amendment violations. And many times when we think about violations, we look at police and the interaction between the descendants of slavery and police. But what we're referring to are those things like education, right? When we don't have the same types of education, we don't have the same environment, the same opportunities that so-called white schools have, that's illegal. That should be defined as a badge of slavery. And it has to be balanced where we get the exact same thing. But Congress has to define all those things that we call racism as a badge of slavery and then outlaw. And then for us, it'll be more balanced. But one of the things we're also looking at is our inheritance. When I was talking about what we are owed in Reconstruction, our inheritance includes our banks, our schools, our hospitals, our towns. So one of the things that we're looking to do, like I was talking about the Freedmen's Bureau, the Office of Freedmen Affairs, all of those things that we want to do will be implemented through that agency. So you know that there's a Africa town in Southwest Philadelphia. And they have an Office of African and Caribbean Affairs.
They do.
They have agency within city government
They have that in
to
Chinatown as
be
well.
able to, right. But guess who doesn't have it? The American freedmen, the progeny of the emancipated, the ones who had the first bureau. It was the Freedmen's Bureau. We had the first government agency. And we've been lobbying Philadelphia City Council to establish an Office of Freedmen Affairs here in Philadelphia so that we would, as the descendants of slavery, as the American freedmen, the descendants of chattel slavery, can benefit from what everybody else is benefiting from because they call themselves black. And that's where DEI, in the news, they talk about DEI, and some people are for DEI, but DEI is not a law.
I think if
DEI is.
anything, we or for the equity, like we're looking to be able to get the equity part of it.
Well, equity is
And in
not
order to get the
in.
equity, you got to diversify it. In order to
No,
diversify, you got to include some
no.
folks.
There is no law that says that.
Oh yeah, for sure, for sure. It's just the affirmative action. It was more of like an intentful policy that was implemented.
But affirmative action was specifically for us. It wasn't for everybody who experienced the harm. And that's an example of where we have to be very nuanced in who we're saying certain things are for.
And I think that's where it
Affirmative.
comes down to this conversation right now, right? Like you said, affirmative action was for us. Even Black-centric ideas like a farmer's index, like Black education, like a Black directory for mental health, psychology, whatever it may be, like those things are centered for us. So the fact that we still have to fight for these things, even now in 2025, it just really shows where we are as a country and how systematically oppressed we really truly are. Like they want to make sure that we don't continuously have things that are specifically for us.
So what that's what the Philadelphia Reparations Coalition for American Freedmen, we are pushing that type of agenda. It's called the Freedmen Strategy.
Because
And
other people do it, and I don't mean to cut you off again. I just want to say this last topic, but I feel like other ethnicities and other people do it in a way in which it separates people by class and gender. But because we're not separating people as far as doing it in a Black-centric way, we're not separating it by class and gender. We're separating by simply saying this is for us and by us as far as Black people or American freedmen.
right, we got to be clear to say that it's for freedmen, because again, all Black people are not the same, and we get lumped all in the same category,
I
because
do agree with you
somebody
on
who is
that.
from Jamaica, somebody from Haiti may be considered, what's called Black, but they didn't experience the harm that the American freedmen experienced. You see, and they weren't guaranteed something under the United States Constitution.
And maybe they didn't experience the harm. Maybe they did experience the harm. It just specifically wasn't on U.S. soil. And that's what
Right. And
separates us from American freedom.
their grievance is with, France, with in terms of Haiti. But we have what's called the Freedman Strategy, and is very bullseye focus with the descendants of slavery. If you go to that site, it's freedmencoalition.org. Freedmencoalition.org. It will explain to you what a birthright citizen or who the birthright citizens the citizens are. You'll be able to read the words of what the lawmakers said. I forget. It was one of the lawmakers who said, "Of course, this is not for the children of diplomats. Of course, this is not for the children of aliens." And when you read the 39th Congress and the records, they were only talking about the descendants of slavery. They weren't talking about everybody else. And when you look at citizenship, right? The descendants of slavery were the first to be made citizens, right? And if the 14th Amendment, like many people say, are for a broad birthright citizenship, there wouldn't have been an Asian Citizenship Act, I believe, in 1954, that gave citizenship to Asians. And then there was one for Native Americans, I believe it was 1927. So if the 14th Amendment guaranteed birthright for everybody, why was there a need for there to be two separate citizenship acts after the 14th Amendment?
But also like in this conversation, because we also got about 10, 12 minutes left. So I want to make sure we get a little bit more further in our conversation. But another thing too, like just introducing people into the concept or the idea of American freedmen, the American Freedmen Bureau no longer exists, one. So like how do
No,
we have those conversations? And it said, based on my research, I'm not going back and forth. I'm just saying like from based on what I learned. And it said it was also disbanded in 1872. So it didn't last that
no.
long. It was actually dismantled due to political pressures and white supremacy during the Renaissance and during
No,
Reconstruction.
It wasn't dismantled. It was dismantled in words, but it is still law. It has not been overturned by a
Well, I'm talking about
legislative order.
the agency itself no
No,
longer exists.
those agencies are still current law. That's what our organization is doing to reestablish those organizations. In order for them to no longer be in existence, they would have to be overturned by a legislative of measure. So they're still law, just like the Second Amendment is still law, right? It's old, but it's still law. It hasn't been overturned. The Freedmen's Bureau, that has never been overturned. Reconstruction has never been overturned. It was just abandoned. There was no legislative issue, no legislative action to overturn Reconstruction. So what we're doing is Reconstruction 2.0 to just reestablish what's already on the books. It's no task force that's really needed. The task force was called the Freedmen Inquiry Commission that detailed what the progeny of the emancipated needed.
And I think that goes back to, like you said, what you were the 2.0 and in the 2.0, fighting for reparations, land access, healthcare equality, and housing justice for the descendants of freedmen, correct?
Specifically for the American freedmen,
Freedmen,
yes.
And another thing that I wanted to get back to is just particularly what you all are doing in Philadelphia with our last 8 minutes. But before we do that, I want you to make sure that people know where they can find you, your website, social media, all that good stuff, before we get into like our last couple questions.
Freedmencoalition.org, FREEDMENCOALITION.org. You'll find out everything about the Freedmen Strategy, where you can donate as well. What we've been doing is speaking at City Council every week. And before we left for the summer break, we had a meeting with a councilman in regards to establishing the Office of Freedmen Affairs. So that's one of the things that we're waiting for our second meeting to go over the legislation to make sure that they understand, the history of the legislation and why it's constitutional and why it's an equal protection issue. It's like this: if the LGBTQ can have an office, if the Office of African and Caribbean Affairs, if they can have an office, if Asians can have an office, if veterans can have an office, it's an equal protection issue where the American freedmen don't have an office. It's really not, and it shouldn't be that hard of a fix when we know that others have an agency within city government. You know, we've reached out to the state level to Keith Harris. He's a newly elected council member, I mean, state rep. And he's on record saying that he was going to introduce it on the state level and reneged because he didn't feel as though he had all the votes. But as a lawmaker, your job is to introduce the legislation, particularly when it's constitutional, and fight and get the people behind you from there. But as a lawmaker, whether it passes or not, you have to do what your constituents ask.
For sure. And we definitely want to hold them accountable, especially in a city like Philadelphia, where we want to make sure that, we are restoring and then also preserving the legacy and the history and the rich and culture of Philadelphia. And so that's why I thank you so much for doing the work that you do every day, on doing the fight for reparations, doing the fight for American freedmen, but also just making sure you're fighting for your city and your community all at the same time. One city hall, one city hall council meeting at a time. So I definitely appreciate you. And before again, before I let you go, my last question I want to ask you, when it comes down to just reparations, I know we talked a lot about the freedmen situation today, well, American freedmen conversation today, but when it comes down to reparations, do you really see it happening under this administration? We got about 3 more years left in this administration. He's fighting for this birthright citizenship, right? Do you see him actually putting something in the pockets of Black people at the same time?
Well, he already made the proclamation that birthright citizenship belongs to the children of the slaves, which is in the 14th Amendment, which is ours, equal protection, right? It actually opens the door for reparations, and the president can't stop reparations. It's already mandated in the Reconstruction Amendments. So yes, I actually do see it happening sooner than later, not a
Okay.
decade.
All right, we're gonna drop
Yeah,
the mic
and
like that.
it's already mandated law. It's Reconstruction is reparations. Reparations is Reconstruction, and Reconstruction was never overturned. It's still current mandated law.
And that's why we gotta continue to have voices like yours here on Revive Radio, man. I appreciate you always for joining me this afternoon. I look forward to speaking with you and seeing you soon in these Philadelphia streets, man. Stay blessed, and I'll see you soon.
All right, thank you.
No doubt. You already know what time it is, man. It's your girl, PLC. Turn your radios up. Spread the word. Spread the message each and every time we go live, man. We got a jam-packed show for you. Yes, you. Tell a friend to tell a friend. We'll be right back. 98.5 WJYM, man, the hottest radio station in the tri-state area. Telling everybody.